Now to Proverbs chapter 21. Just going to give you a brief word of encouragement and exhortation, and really more encouragement than anything else, in keeping with the Lord's Supper. I read a passage of Scripture this morning, and it just says this: the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. And as I studied and looked at that passage and meditated on it, I don't know if you realize, it's basically saying this, and I believe this verse is right along the lines of understanding God's sovereignty. And saints, we need to grasp this. God is absolutely sovereign over everything that happens at any moment, at any time in history. And you may think to yourself, you know, he's sovereign over these kings. It's right. The Scripture says he can turn a king's heart like a water course wherever he wants it to go. And you know, that's easy for us to grasp when we read the book of Esther. And we see in Esther where the king is encouraged by Haman to hatch this plot that was Haman's plot to destroy all of Israel and destroy every Jew everywhere in this kingdom. And then we watch as God sovereignly moves his hand through Mordecai, through an event where two men try to kill the king, and Mordecai informs his daughter, the girl that he adopted as his daughter, Esther. Esther informs the king in the name of Mordecai. Completely forget about the whole incident until the night before Esther is going to speak to the king. And then suddenly God in his grace and by his power changes that king's heart like a water course. And what was meant for Israel's destruction comes to wind up being for their ultimate deliverance. It's easy to see the whole idea that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it like a water course wherever he wants it to go in those circumstances. But what about circumstances like Pharaoh? Where Pharaoh is enslaving and really making it very difficult for all the children of Israel for hundreds of years. What about situations like that David experienced under Saul? Or Nebuchadnezzar? Or the kings that came and destroyed Israel and then later destroyed Judah? Is God still in control of those moments? And what I want to say to you, saints, is yes, 1,000 times yes. Because you see, what we do is we look in a mirror dimly. We only see things in a very dim mirror because we're here in the midst of this earth and we don't see the whole picture. But the Word of God lets me know that God is working all things after the counsel of His will. God is working all things according to His eternal purpose, which He brought about in Christ Jesus. And please understand that in seeing that, you need to know that God understood that Christ was slain from the foundation of the world before man ever fell. And that what God is doing, even though we watch it in this current world and we think to ourselves, wow, who's in control of this thing? You need to understand that God is working all things after the counsel of His will. And God's ultimate purpose, and this is going to be rough for some of you, is not your happiness. God's ultimate purpose is not to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. God's ultimate purpose is not to give you a cushy life where everything is great and everything's wonderful and everything just falls perfectly into place for you. We read in Romans where it says, here's God's ultimate purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. You know what God's ultimate purpose is? That those that God calls unto Himself, those who are saved, those who come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, will be conformed in their character, in their lifestyle, and in their godliness, so that they remind you more and more of Jesus every day. And as God is working that out toward His end, and by the way, we read in Ephesians chapter 1 that God's purpose is to sum up all things in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that in the end, it's not going to be that you stand and give testimony and say, wow, I had a wonderful life. I had a lot of money. Everything went great for me. We were never sick. We were never in trouble. We never had problems. And I just claimed it all from God and it all came to me day by day. I want you to know the purpose and plan of God often involves suffering. Because if God's ultimate purpose is to make everything easy, wonderful, to make everybody rich, happy, and never have to go through suffering, Moses was ripped off, Jesus was ripped off, Paul was ripped off. They were all ripped off. Because they didn't have this cushy lifestyle where everything was perfect. You see, the glory of our God is seen not in that everything works great for you 100% of the time. The glory of God is often seen in the midst of your suffering. The glory of God is often seen in the midst of the difficulty that you walk through and the grace you experience as God brings you through troubled waters, as God brings you through the valley. As you can say, as David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you know David wrote that in the desert? Do you know that there is a great likelihood that David actually wrote that while Saul was chasing him around trying to kill him? And yet David could trust in the purpose and the plan of God, even in the midst of the difficulty, even in the midst of the trial, even, saints, in the midst of the suffering. I want to read you a couple of passages of Scripture from John. And when we begin to understand God's ultimate sovereignty in this world, and God's sovereignty over everything that happens in our lives, it will free us to do some things. Look at John chapter 13. Turn over there with me. John chapter 13 and verse 1, we read this interesting passage. I'll wait until I hear the glorious rustling of the Word of God. Settle. Such a great sound. Now, before the feast of the Passover, verse 1, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Understanding God's sovereignty in your life, saints, is going to free you to love other people. If you know that every single thing that happens in your life is under the sovereign hand of a loving God, it will allow you not to view the difficult and the hard and the rough things and people you would like to slap upside the head as people that you would like to slap upside the head. You will be freed to realize God put that person in my life. I realize that may not be a comfort to you at the moment. You may say, don't tell me that, because I have believed for several months now the devil put them in my life. In fact, I think at times they may be the devil. But let me say this, saints. No. Every difficult person in your life is there by the purpose and the design of Almighty God as wonderful, large grit sandpaper to knock off your edges. And so that you may become conformed more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus. In fact, the more we view them as the evil person in our life, probably the less likely we're actually going to be sanctified and that visit will be over. The more we resist, the more pressure the Lord will put on that sandpaper to go, wow, really tough to get this spot. Well, let me tell you something, saints. God's like, but I'm committed to get that spot. And I can take off the sandpaper and I can bring out a grinder, a gas grinder, and fire that sucker up with a millstone on it and grind on you for a while if you're unwilling to learn what God's trying to teach you. Jesus said he loved his disciples and he loved them until the end. And you think, oh, that's just a lovely statement. Really? You realize who these guys were, right? They were frustration in an 11-person package. And one guy that was going to betray him. Peter told Jesus he shouldn't go to the cross. John and James wanted to call down fire on a city that wouldn't give them the golden key and invite them in the front door. None of them wanted to go see the Gentiles. And a lot of times, Jesus would teach and teach and teach, and the whole general idea when they were regurgitating back to the Lord, what he taught them was, huh? He loved his disciples to the end. And knowing that his time had come, knowing that this was why he was here, knowing why he was on the earth, knowing the sovereign hand of God, and knowing it from the foundation of the earth that he was going to lay down his life for the world, Jesus Christ was freed to love like you would never, ever imagine. Keep reading with me. Verse 2, during supper, the devil already having put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, here's that word knowing again, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and he was going back to God, verse 4, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water in the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Understanding that God is ultimately sovereign, saints, is going to free you to love people. Here's the second thing. It's going to free you to serve people. Do you realize what that passage just said? Jesus, knowing God put all things into his hands. In other words, he has ultimate authority, absolute authority. Knowing that he had come from God and he was going back to God. Those are some heady thoughts. Jesus grasping fully his glory and his majesty, and that he had come and that all power was in his hands, and that he was going back. Jesus, and you think in the next moment, you would say, Jesus opened up the earth and just by the power of his will gave forth a glorious fireworks display that spelled out, I'm going to die soon. You need to be saved. Come to Jesus with thunder. You read that passage and you're waiting for some glorious, incredible manifestation of power and might and majesty and authority. And yet we are treated to this thought of, he took a towel and wrapped it around his waist. He poured water into a basin. And you know from the other Gospels, these guys who had been fighting about who's the greatest, he then goes, and nobody would wash each other's feet, by the way. It was the ultimate insult to everybody in that room that nobody took the role of washing their feet. It was the ultimate insult. The Jewish version of Miss Manners would have lost it. Why is this happening? Jesus went and washed every single one of their feet. Knowing God's sovereignty, saints, will free you to serve. Let me say this very honestly. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Any authority that has been given to any of us was given by God and can be easily be taken by God back. Nobody's better than anybody else. Nobody's higher than anybody else. And here's an awesome thing. Nobody's lower than anybody else. We're all dirty, rotten, stinking sinners. Amen. You ever never hear amens, you know? We're dirty, rotten stinkers. Well, I don't know about that. No, needs to be glory. Yes! And every single one of us can only stand before God because of grace and mercy. Not one of us deserves anything because of what we've done or how well we've performed or anything we've tried to do. Not one of us. Everything by grace. Now, when you realize that, and you realize Almighty God, who sovereignly, graciously called you unto himself, who wonderfully and marvelously saved you, and who gave you his righteousness by which you may stand before him, nothing you will ever do will make him love you one whit more than he did when he died upon that cross. You will be free with no thought of, but if I serve them, they'll think I'm better than them, or they'll think they're better than me. It will free you to serve. It will free you to serve one another like never before, because you have nothing to prove. You have no one to try to put under your thumb. You have no one that's supposed to be under you or over you or all this stuff. Yes, God has his his aspects of authority. But please understand, they are all within the grace of God. Not one of us got anything because we earned it. All of us received everything that we have because, here comes saints, we received it. And you will be free like never before to serve each other. Last passage, real quick. John chapter 19. Now remember, understanding God's sovereignty and knowing God and knowing what He's doing and knowing His plan and purpose will free you to love. It will free you to serve. This last one will blow your mind. Verse 28. After this, and here's that phrase again, Jesus knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the Scripture said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, and they put a sponge on it full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop, brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus knew why he had come. And he knew that that glorious moment where his blood had been shed, where it had been hung on a tree, becoming a curse before God, because the Scriptures have said, cursed is everyone who does not keep all this law to obey it. And we were under that curse. We were all condemned, every single one of us. But Jesus, knowing that he had come for that purpose, that he had lived a perfect life before God, that he took those sins upon him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that God had judged him, and that the wrath and the judgment of God had fallen upon him, and Jesus had paid for our sins completely. Knowing all these things, Jesus took that sour wine. I'll go into that some Sunday. You'll be blown away at what's happening right there. And he takes that drink, and then finally, he looks up into heaven, and he says, it is finished. And what he's basically saying is, paid in full. It's an economic term. It's a term that is used in accounting, meaning everything's paid. Now, when you understand, and Jesus, by the way, did that because he understood this was God's purpose, this was God's plan. God sovereignly is working to accomplish what he set out to accomplish at the very first day of the earth, because you see, God sees the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And he knows all things simultaneously in one moment. And he's always known them. And he will forever know them. Jesus was freed. And here's the thing, saints, to die. Now, his death accomplished salvation for all of us. And we can't die in that way for others. Let me ask you a question. And let's see if you guys are like me. God asked me to do something, okay? And he asked me to do it for somebody every once in a while that I'm not real thrilled about doing something for. I realize all of you are so godly, you've never been asked to do that. And when God says, would you please do this? My first thought is, when pigs fly. I don't want to do that for that person. And then, of course, God in his wonderful grace encourages me. Sometimes with a trip around the woodshed, other aspects of things that have happened to help modify my resistance. And I finally come to the place where it's, yeah, I'll do that. And then it even comes to the place, and here's where the really cool stuff happens. Lord, I would rejoice to do that. In fact, it would be a pleasure to do that. And let me tell you what has to happen in order for that to take place. I have to die. And when you realize that God in his wonderful sovereignty will work situations in your life where you're going to have to die to yourself and serve somebody else, when you understand that God sovereignly worked those things, it becomes a joy to die. It becomes a joy to lay down your life for the sake of others. Now, what have we seen in grasping the sovereignty of God? Sovereignty of God frees you to love people. Sovereignty of God frees you to serve people. And the sovereignty of God helps you to lay down your life for the sake of others. And all of it because you know that all these things that God is doing is working for you an eternal weight of glory far beyond all understanding. That he is working all these things in his plan and his purpose to conform you to the image of his Son, and then at the end of the age, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and are accepted at the throne of God's judgment, what you will do is not tell everybody how awesome you were to accomplish all the things you did. You will basically say, God, do you see all these things that you sovereignly worked? Do you see all these situations where you sovereignly placed me in these places and put me with these people and did all these things? God, to your glory and your glory alone, look at what they've done in my character. Look at what grace has accomplished. Look at what your mercy has done in my heart and in my character. It looks like that guy sitting on your right. Glory be to your name. And any crown we have received in service, we will cast before his throne, and we will willingly fall and worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, saints, it's all going to be summed up in him. So I want to encourage you this morning. Everything you're going through has been allowed by God. Everything you are going through is being used by God. And everything you are going through will ultimately be unto the glory of God. Now, some of you this morning are going, wow, that's awesome. And some of you are like, wow, I'm almost mad because of where you are right now. But saints, I want you to understand what seems to be the weirdest thing in the world, that God's own Son laying down his glory and coming to this earth, being abused in the ways that he was abused, being spoken of in the ways that he was spoken of, and then going to a cross and facing a criminal's death and dying there and having to be put into a borrowed tomb because he didn't even have one of his own. That just seems crazy. Unless you understand that in the scope and the purpose of God's plan and what he was doing, that paid for anybody on this planet to not face the wrath and the judgment of God, but to be saved. And by the way, it will never, ever be because of anything they've ever done. This crazy thing that we think is awesome because we're religious, okay? You say something like this to a lost person, don't understand anything about God, and they'll go, your God's crazy. That doesn't make any sense. But it is the most glorious event ever. Because in God's sovereignty, Jesus was walking and he understood what his Father was doing. And therefore, he could love, he could serve, and he could die. And in remembering that this morning, oh, how I pray that you will realize this as you walk forth from this place into the world. You too can love, you too can serve, and you too can die to yourself to be a blessing to others. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy.